and gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It is written, Rabbi, where abidest thou? He saith unto them, come, and ye shall see. It is written, he findeth first his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. It is written, on the morrow he was minded to go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and Jesus saith unto him, follow me. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee underneath the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall see the heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. If to Christ, our only King, men redeemed we strive to bring, just one way this may be done. We must win them one by one. Side by side we stand each day. Saved are we, but lost are they. They will come if we but dare speak a word backed up by prayer. Only cowards dare refuse, dare this gift of God misuse. Ere some friend goes to his grave, go ahead, speak a word, his soul to save. So you bring the one next to you, and I'll bring the one next to me. In no time at all, we'll have them all. So win them, one by one. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, 4 days in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first chapter of John, there are 4 days that run together in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Day number one begins when a delegation of Jews from Jerusalem came to the wilderness of Judea to interview John the Baptist. Their first question was, who art thou? We cannot imagine with what sarcasm they asked that question. Who are you? You did not study under Dr. Gamaliel. You are not accredited. Your degree is not recognized by the mainstream of God's people. What are your credentials? Who are you? John confessed and denied not. He confessed, I am not the Christ. One well-known impostor was asked one time if he was Jesus. And his answer was, I'm not saying I am, and I'm not saying I'm not. Next, they asked him if he was Elijah. Again, he said, I am not. John refused to say that he was the reincarnation of Elijah. The angel told Zacharias, his father, that he would go in the spirit and power of Elijah. He was not Elijah resurrected from the dead, but he went in the spirit and power of Elijah the prophet. The Christian can say today, our Elijah has come. Then they said, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? John said, I am a voice crying in the wilderness. Jesus was the Word, and John was the voice. Then he told them, "There is one standing in the midst of you, whom ye know not." The same thing is true today. Jesus is standing in the midst of us at all times, and many are not aware of his presence. Jesus is the unknown neighbor to many. The unknown neighbor in spite of the fact of the calendar with its B.C. and A.D., reminding us the date line is tied to the cradle at Bethlehem. The unknown neighbor in spite of the existence of church buildings, sometimes on every corner. The unknown neighbor in spite of the Bible as the all-time bestseller. The unknown neighbor in spite of the fact most hear his name mentioned every day in profanity and in recent years blasphemed in most every movie, and worst of all, the unknown neighbor in most churches. The unknown neighbor living in the midst of us like Jacob, after his dream of the ladder that stretched from earth to heaven, when he said, "The Lord was in this place, and I knew it not." And now on the second day, there were two great statements of John that needs to be noticed. The first one is when John identified Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 11, that John was more than a prophet. How could he be more than a prophet? He was more than a prophet because he not only prophesied the coming of Jesus, but unlike the great prophets of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, unlike them, John, in addition to making the prophecy, could point to the fulfillment of the prophecy when he pointed to Jesus and declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That statement of John may not have registered on their minds, but it was an obvious reference to the scapegoat in Leviticus 16 on the Day of Atonement. When a goat was sacrificed and his blood placed on the head of a live goat with the sins of the people and taken far away. In like manner, Jesus, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Notice that John did not say he said sin. This is what we call the collective singular. He took all the sins of all the people, whoever lived or ever will live, all the immorality, all the murders, all the stealing, all the drug addiction, all the drunkenness, all the blasphemies, all the lies, and felt the shame and guilt of every one of those sins as though he himself was guilty of all. Paul said it for us when he said that Jesus was made to be sin, that knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Actually, there were two plans God could have used for getting rid of sin. The first plan was he could have gotten rid of all sinners. And if he had used that plan, he could have started out in the Garden of Eden. However, he used the second plan and sent Jesus to die on the cross to take away the sin of the world. Then the second statement of John was when he said, he saw the Holy Spirit descending on him from heaven in bodily form as a dove. Now that reminds us of Noah when he sent forth a dove out of the ark for the second time, and she returned with an olive leaf in her mouth. Noah knew then it was safe to leave the ark. God had made peace with men. And then again we are reminded that the Holy Spirit descended from heaven on the day of Pentecost, not in the form of a dove, but in like tongues of fire. and sat on the heads of all the apostles when they preached the first gospel sermon. And on that day, God made peace with 3,000 people when they accepted the terms of Peter, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I like also that statement at the end of the epistle to the Hebrews. "Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus Christ, make you perfect unto every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. God has made peace with men through the blood of Christ." Again on the morrow, now that would be day number 3. On this day, John, Andrew, and Peter would meet the Lord. John was standing, and two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked, and said for the second time, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples followed Jesus, and he turned and asked them, "What seek ye?" They said, "Rabbi, where abidest thou?" Jesus did not tell them where he lived. He gave them no address. He knew if he told them where he lived, they might put off the coming to see him until the next day, and he might not be there then. After all, he did say one time, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven have nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." So he gave them no address, but he did say, "Come and see." However, they did call him Rabbi, which means teacher, and that indicated they wanted to be taught. What are you looking for when you follow the Lord? Do you want to be taught? One survey I saw indicated that people are looking for several things in a church, and the last thing on the list was the doctrine. There is no way you can separate the Lord from his doctrine. You cannot separate him from his baptism, since we are buried with him. You cannot separate him from the Lord's Supper, since it is done in remembrance of him. You cannot separate him from his church, since it is his bride. What are you looking for as you follow Jesus? One of the two who followed Jesus was Andrew. He finds first his own brother Simon and brought him to Jesus. Notice that again. Andrew finds first his own brother Simon. When Andrew met the Lord the same day, he became a soul winner. He called his own brother Simon and brought him to Jesus. The woman at the well in John 4 met Jesus and the same day went into the city and told everybody, "Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did." And John told Legion in Mark 5, after he had cast out a legion of demons, Jesus told him, "Go to thy house, unto thy friends, and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee, and how he had mercy on thee." And he did. People in the Scripture who met the Lord were like Adam in the Garden of Eden. He was miserable by himself, and God made Eve for him. That principle is true in the church. A person who finds Jesus is not satisfied until he can find somebody else. A church that is not concerned about evangelizing must be a very miserable congregation. Go tell somebody about Jesus. If a person cannot preach or teach, they can still seek the lost by sending others. Evangelizing needs to be done, a combined effort of the whole church. The word Peter means stone. Perhaps there is more here than we see at first glance. Thou art stone. Jesus saw what he could become. He sees what we can become also. It was Peter himself who said that we are precious, living stones, built up a spiritual house. As members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all called stones by the Holy Spirit. The Church is not built on Peter any more than it is built on all of us who are members of the Church. The Church is built on the foundation of the fact that Peter expressed when he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And now, day number 4. On the morrow, that would be day number 4, Jesus called Philip. The call of Philip was different than the call of the others. It was John the Baptist that pointed out Jesus to Andrew and John. Andrew brought his brother Simon. Philip would bring Nathanael to Jesus. But the call of Philip was different in that Jesus himself called Philip. It was a personal invitation from the Lord. Many today can say they learned of Jesus from family, friends, or the preacher, but some, like Philip, receive a personal invitation. I had a personal invitation like Philip as far as the preaching ministry was concerned. Now, I did not have any dreams. I saw no vision. I heard no voices, nor was I struck by lightning. Nor was I walking by the seaside, as oftentimes I did at that time in a sea-close town, and heard the voice of Jesus saying, Follow me, as with the 4 fishermen. But one day I was reading through the Gospel according to Matthew, and got to the end and read the Great Commission, where Jesus said, He had all authority in heaven and in earth. And he said, Go and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I commanded you. And then he said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I thought to myself, that applies to me. I memorized those verses. One thing led to another, and here I am. It was a personal invite I received by reading the words of Jesus. The New Testament is also a personal message to you from Jesus, from those who wrote the word, who were inspired and brought to remembrance what Jesus said. Then after Philip was invited by Jesus, he went and told Nathanael, who said, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathanael was prejudiced. He had heard that old saying before, and his mind was made up before he saw the Lord or anything else. He had nothing more to hear. He was not concerned about hearing any more. Many already have made up their minds what they believe, what they have heard, and do not want to hear any more. Philip, however, did not argue with him. He just said, Come and see. Have you ever read it for yourself? Open your Bible and read it for yourself. Come and see. Nathanael came to see for himself, and Jesus said, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said, Rabbi, whence knowest thou me? Jesus said, I saw thee yesterday when you were under the fig tree. Nathanael said, Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus not only said he saw him, he told him the day he saw him. It wasn't a week ago. It wasn't the day before yesterday. It was yesterday. He not only saw him, but he told him the place where he saw him. I saw you under a tree. And then he told him what kind of a tree it was when he saw him. It was a fig tree. Nathanael got the message. He knew there was no way anybody could see what he was doing under that tree. He knew if the Lord could see him there, he could see anybody, anywhere, anytime. Nathanael said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Now, just what was it that Nathanael was doing under that fig tree? Well, of course, the scripture does not say, but since Jesus spoke of a ladder going up and down from heaven to earth, one might guess Nathanael was thinking about the similar dream of Jacob, who saw a ladder going up from earth to heaven. Jesus told Nathanael that he would see greater things than these. What were the greater things he would see? Nathanael would see Jesus raised from the dead. He would see him give sight to the blind. He would see the resurrected body of Jesus. He would see him taken up to heaven. He would someday see him with the rest of us on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory when he comes again. He saw him now as the King of Israel, but he would see him later as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You shall see greater things than these. You shall see the heavens open and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The angels were always at his beck and call. In Gethsemane, he said he could call 12 legions of angels. This, no doubt, at a moment's notice. They ascended and descended at his birth. They ascended and descended at his temptation. They ascended and descended in the Garden of Gethsemane. They ascended and descended at the resurrection. They ascended and descended at his ascension. They will accompany him when he returns in the second coming. But the angels also are busy ascending and descending today, as we read in Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit eternal salvation? Remember, the angels ascended and descended on Jesus, the Son of Man, according to that analogy of Jesus. He is the ladder that reaches from earth to heaven. During the ministry of my first congregation I served, one day I asked an elderly elder to pray the closing prayer of benediction at the close of the service, and I have never forgotten the words of that prayer he prayed. That man prayed, O Lord, help us to remember heaven is not gained by a single bound, but by climbing the ladder round by round. I believe the Lord Jesus must have said amen that day when he heard that prayer. What better way is there to say it? The first rung on the ladder to heaven is hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith does not come by opinion or by what I think, but by the word of God. The second rung is faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The third rung is repentance. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. The greatest trick of the devil is to fill the churches with people who never repented, and the line between the world and the church is blurred. The fourth rung in the ladder is confession, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. The fifth rung of the ladder is baptism. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. The sixth rung in the ladder is a faithful life. He that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. Which one of these six rungs in the ladder to heaven will save? Is there any scripture that teaches that any one of them alone will save without the rest? remember the prayer of that elder. Heaven is not gained by a single bound, but by climbing the ladder, round by round. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody somehow in some way that God is just a prayer away. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Oh, God.